thankful for the prayer this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, we'll be in the 90th Psalm. We'll be skipping around a little bit this morning, but I want to continue our study that we started several weeks ago, and that study focuses on the characteristics and attributes of our God. I think it does us well to learn the attributes of God, because it empowers us to know Him better and to serve Him better. And this morning, I want to look at one of the attributes that's something I think it's a concept in one way that's difficult for us to understand, but through God's Word, we can gain a better understanding of the nature of our God. And that aspect that I want to speak on this morning is the infinity of God, that God always is. He always has been and always will be. He's a God without limits. So I was thinking about this when I was in school. There was a couple of terms that were very popular. You'd see them on bumper stickers and so forth. One of them was no limits. And then I think that there was some kind of clothing company that came along that said no boundaries. But you'd see bumper stickers that said no limits, and it was a popular mindset, and I think it still is today, that human beings, that individuals, there's no limitations in their lives. And, you know, I thought as a young man, well, that's interesting, that's pretty neat. But the older I get, the more I realize that ain't true. We all have our limits. The older I get, the more I realize what my limitations are. As a young person, that was a big push in media, no limits. I think of one of the big commercial pushes when I was a young man was to be like Mike. Not Mike Green, but be like Michael Jordan. You remember that? I think it was Gatorade and Nike, be like Mike. And everybody thought that they could be like Mike. Well, I would go and play basketball and try to be like Mike, and I wasn't like Mike because I had limitations. You know, you'd see him come and slam that ball and dunk it, and everybody wanted to do that as a kid. Couldn't do it. Well, we all have limitations. We have physical limitations. Some of us, due to age, can't do the things that we once did. Some of us were born with limitations that we just could never do things that other people could do. Another thing that I aspired to do as a young man is I wanted to learn how to water ski. You'd see people get up there and get pulled up and water ski, and I've tried that on about three occasions. It's been a failure, and I finally decided I don't have it within me to do that. My limbs are too long. I'm too clumsy. The kids thought I died the last time I tried it. I have those limitations. Some people have limitations of height, being too short. Some people have limitations with their coordination. We have limitations based off of motivation. I'm never going to be a brain surgeon because I don't have the motivation to put in the work to do that. People have limitations because of where they were born, what color they were born, what country that they were born in. And that's a hallmark characteristic of man, of fallen man. We all have our limitations. No matter what media says, no matter what bumper stickers we have on our car, we have limits. We have limits in our ability and our capability. But I'm thankful this morning that we're going to look at God's Word. You can turn to Psalm 90, and we're going to see that God does not have the limitations that we do. In fact, God is free of all limitations outside of Himself. And what that means is God's not going to act act against His will. He's not going to act contrary to His will. But our God is not limited like we are. And I think that's one of the characteristics of God. When we understand that, that'll bring us great peace and great encouragement when we think about our own limitations. If you didn't think you had limitations before we started the quarantine and things started shutting down, I believe that we're all keenly aware of it now. You know, I think just in the natural sense, we went through a period of time where you couldn't find water. You couldn't find toilet paper. That makes you realize real quick, there's limitations. But our God is free of all limitations. And I'm thankful that that's the God that we serve. You know, the God that we serve, if He's blessing somebody across the country, He's able to bless us as well because He's free of all limitations. You know, we think about Brother David not being here with us this morning. Brother David, as great as he is, he can't be two places at once. But our God can. He is everywhere present. He is nowhere absent. And he has always been. He is infinite. So let's go to Psalm 90. We're going to look at several different places in the 90th Psalm. But I want us to start out with the first two verses this morning. And I'm always amazed when you go to the Psalm and Psalms and you have the psalmist David and other psalm writers, the great blessing that God inspired them with to pin some really in-depth doctrinal truths, really in-depth truths about who our God is. And now the psalmist David, he's writing this psalm to extol the power of God. And notice how he starts out. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." You know, one of those big philosophical questions, well, how old is God? Well, he's from everlasting to everlasting. Well, how many years is that? I don't know. It's from everlasting to everlasting. But the psalmist David, you'll see it, and we're going to look at several different psalms. The psalmist David, he acknowledges his limits. He acknowledges his weakness. But over and over again, he acknowledges that God, he's the one that's from everlasting to everlasting. And he says this at the very beginning. He says, "You've been our dwelling place for in all generations." Aren't you thankful that we that are limited, we that have weakness, we that fall short, we that fail, that God has been with us, he has been our dwelling place ever since we've been in existence. And David says here, even before this world was spoken into existence, you were. And I'm thankful. You know, God, he's saying, God, you are eternal, you are infinite. And here's the wonderful blessing. You are the one consistent thing in the universe. And David is saying in this psalm, I know that we're safe in you because you are the everlasting God. My friends, that will affect your mindset this morning when you understand that God has been our habitation throughout all generations. Now I want us to look at a few things as we think about our God having no limits. There's some truths that come out as we see other psalms, as we see other parts of God's Word. When we think about the infinite God that we serve, I want us to think about this morning a little bit about His perfection. I want us to think about His eternality, as what we've seen here in the 90th Psalm. And then I want to think about His immensity. The word immense means greatness. It means a power that just fills a room, a power that fills a space. And when we think about our God and His infinity, I want you to understand it is tied to His perfection. If God was not infinite, we could not say that He was perfect. But I'm thankful the Word of God teaches us, and what David says here is that because you're infinite, God, you are perfect. Now, one particular scripture that comes to mind is an Old Testament, maybe an obscure Old Testament prayer, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you have the prayer of Jehoshaphat. You can go back home and read about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat is praying this prayer because Jehoshaphat is in a bind. The children of Israel are in a bind. They were up against an incredible obstacle. So Jehoshaphat prays this prayer unto God. And notice what Jehoshaphat does. In this prayer, he asks three questions. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6. He said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Now, what we have here, Jehoshaphat is praying this big prayer, and he's asking these rhetorical questions. We see he's asking this question that references God as being the exalted one. Are you not the God in heaven? God as sovereign ruler over all, the one that rules over the kingdoms of the heathen. And then God and his power are in thine hand. Is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? basically, Jehoshaphat in this prayer, he's pointing to the perfection of God and God having infinite perfection. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? In other words, what we see here, what we see in Psalm 90, what we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is that whatever God is, and He is it infinitely. And in His perfection, He is infinite. You know, again, our limitations, whatever we are inconsistent, aren't we? You know, you think about just some of the major things that make us us. You know, we're limited in our capacity. You know, in our service to others, the very best servant amongst us, we're limited. We're not serving to a full capacity because of our limitations. And even in love, you know, I hope we love one another here, and we try to love big. We try to love our families, love our children, love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But it is finite. But in his time of distress, Jehoshaphat is praying unto a God that is infinite in his perfection. And God blesses incredibly. If you go on and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God blesses Jehoshaphat. But again, another place, Psalm 145. David says this, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. This is a psalm of thanksgiving and prayer to God. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. What he's saying here is that the greatness and the power of our God is perfect. It is without beginning, without end. What he's saying here in this psalm praising God is you can't reach the bottom when you start pondering the perfection of God. You know, that's why we have such a hard time wrapping our brains around it. He says that his greatness, he mentions the greatness of God over and over and over again in the 145th psalm. And he finally says it's unsearchable. It means that our minds can't attain to his perfection, to his infinite power. He is infinitely powerful. And you think about some of the areas of God's character that we hold dear here in this church. You know, we believe that our God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. Well, how far does that extend? Well, it's infinite mercy and forgiveness that he has for his people. Humans' forgiveness will only go so far. Remember when Jesus, his disciples come to him and say, Lord, how many times should we forgive a man? Seven times? How many times are we to do it, Lord? Tell us. And the Lord gives them the answer that they're to do it 70 times seven. And that just blew their mind. They thought, well, this is just impossible. Well, with us, we have our limitations. Sometimes we reach a point where our grace and our mercy towards others wanes. It shouldn't, but the reality is it does. Our patience runs out with people, but God, He is infinitely power in His forgiveness. And I'm thankful for that because I mess up on not only a daily basis, but an hourly basis. I'm messing up and I've got something that I need to repent of. I've fallen short of God's standard, but the God that we serve, David said, His greatness is unsearchable. We looked at creation just a little bit in Psalm 90, and we see that God is infinite in His creation. You know, we live in a time today where many people will say, well, we're just an accident here in this world. Everything that's around us was just happened by chance. It just happened by some accident, a couple of random chemicals mixed billions and billions of years ago, and here we are. You know, what I think, if you know, looking on the bright side, I think that's finite man trying to explain the surroundings around him, but it's a wrong explanation. Are you limited in your creation ability? On one front, I don't think that there's anything that we can create. We can make things, but we can't create create something entirely new of our own will. You know, we make cakes and we make pies, but they come from things that are already there. But let's go along the lines of creation. If you want to know what your limitations are, have you ever tried to recreate something somebody else has made? We at home like to watch some of these. I can't remember the program, but these cake fail shows, and they have these contests where people are trying to imitate this great cake that's beautiful and tasty, and they end up failing miserably. Well, we've all had those experiences. My water skiing experience. Try to create something somebody else has done and fail at it. That's frustrating, isn't it? But our God has never failed in anything that He's created. When He spoke this heaven and earth into existence, it was created just the way that He wanted it. When he created man from the dust of the earth and created woman from the rib of man, He created them just the way that He wanted them. And it was perfect. And what a blessing. That's the God that we serve today. There was nothing that was too hard for Him. And that's a wonderful blessing to think about. And we read that He created these heavens and these earth, created life in 6 days. And on the seventh day He rested. He didn't rest because He was tuckered out. He didn't rest because He was tired. He did all of that. Now, He didn't even break a sweat. Our God is infinitely powerful in creation. And I'm thankful He's infinitely powerful in redemption as well. Aren't you thankful for that? The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who brought something out of nothing, is the one who spiritually in our lives, through His Spirit, brings us from death unto life eternally. And hadn't even broke a sweat in doing it. Aren't you thankful? He is perfect in redemption. My friends, any ideology, any doctrine that says that God did not complete the work of redemption, or God just did a little bit of it and the rest of it is up to us. No, that's not speaking of the infinite God of the Bible. He, before the foundation of the world, chose a people in His Son. His Son came and died for all of His elect family, and all of His elect family is going to be in heaven some sweet day because He's infinitely powerful. Amen. Our God has no limitations. He's the one that's able to raise the dead. He's the one that does not struggle. He does not sweat. He does not toil. He does not get tired like we do. And David says here, His greatness is unsearchable. You can't reach the bottom of the depths of His greatness. And praise be to God, that's the one that we serve. He is infinitely powerful. We have in here what David is telling us also is that He is infinitely good. Our God is good. Even in the midst of confusing and chaotic times, our God is good, isn't He? You know, we have that saying, God is good all the time. Why is that? Because He has infinite power. He has absolute power. You know, you ever hear the statement, well, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, that happens with finite man. That happens with the limitations that we have upon us because of sin, because of our flesh. Men that garner power oftentimes fail, oftentimes become corrupt, oftentimes use that power for nefarious purposes. You know, even in the greatest nation in the world, our forefathers recognized that capacity in man and made three branches of government, checks and balances, and we see just the course of things. Even with that, there's still corruption. But our God is the only being that has absolute power, and it does not corrupt because He is infinitely good. He's infinitely just, infinitely fair, infinitely benevolent. Going back to the 145th Psalm, as David ends that Psalm of praise, he'll say in verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all His works." He says here, our God is infinitely good. You know, there's a difference between our good and God's good. You ever thought about that? Let me ask you this question. We'll see who will participate this morning. Do you ever get tired of doing good or being good? Okay, y'all are all liars this morning. No, we try to be good, but our goodness has limitations, doesn't it? It does. If we're being honest, there are times where we do good things, but our intent is not where it should be. You know, we do good things sometimes not out of love, don't we? We do good things because we feel obligated to do it. You know, don't raise your hand on this one, but you know, sometimes we come to church, and maybe you've come to church this morning because it was the right thing to do and you didn't want to do it. You didn't come out of love. Maybe you came because mama or daddy made you come. Maybe you came, but you were tired. You came begrudgingly. Maybe you came because you feared embarrassment. You feared what people would think of you. You know, if we're just being real this morning, that's the way our goodness is on occasion. Not all the time, I hope. But the reality is our good is limited. Sometimes we do good because of what we can get out of it. Your kids at home, I'm going to tell on my kids this morning. Sometimes they'll be doing things and they'll be on this streak of doing things and helping out without being asked. And sometimes I think and tell my wife, I wonder what they want. That is human nature. But God's goodness is infinite goodness. It's perfect goodness. And honestly, we do get tired of doing good. We get weary. We get in the flesh. We just get contrary sometimes. But I'm thankful our God does not tire of doing good. You know, as I was studying and thinking, one quote that just came to mind was in reading John Gill. John Gill wrote this big body of divinity is the name of the book. And he writes about the goodness of God. And he says, God is infinitely good. Notice this, as his understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and other perfections of his are infinite, so is his goodness. He is abundant in it. It is so great, notice this, that it cannot be said how great it is. Finite minds cannot comprehend it. The height, depth, length, and breadth of it are immeasurable. It knows no bounds nor limits. That is the goodness of our God. He would say that the goodness of God remains an inexhaustible fountain even today. My friends, if you're struggling in this world, if you're suffering trials and tribulations in this world, I feel for you. We pray for those that are going through difficult times, but never say that God is not good. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and he bows his knees unto God, and he prays this prayer. Part of that prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18 was this. He prayed that God's people may be able to comprehend, he says, with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And he says, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This Paul is writing his closing words to the church at Ephesus. He reminds them and prays for them to understand the goodness of God. Now, as you read this, you'll see that he's speaking of some things that I don't think we'll ever fully understand. You know, we don't really totally get the goodness of God because it is infinite. But Paul is praying here that we as God's people, his prayer is that we would comprehend, that we would better understand. He uses the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the fullness of God. We see here that our God's perfection, our God's goodness, our God's love, it is all infinite. Now, as we go on, I want us to look a little bit as well about God's eternality and what that means for us. Going back to the 90th Psalm again, he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. I'll remind you what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Psalmist David here shows us God's eternality. He's not bound by time. He doesn't have a calendar on his wall like we do. He doesn't wear a wristwatch. He's not bound by time. And David, when he says here, he's from everlasting to everlasting, he's saying that he's always eternally existing. He has no beginning and no end. In other words, he's not like us. You know, some of those same philosophers who concocted the idea that humans have no limits and humans have no boundaries are now laying in a, or their bodies are laying in a cemetery with a date on the stone. Natural experience tells us that we are indeed limited, but God is not. And what you see in the 90th Psalm is David acknowledges this truth. And we'll read Psalm 90 here, read on down. But what you're going to see the contrast between the fragility of man and the greatness of God. And David is writing this psalm in a time of distress, in a time of weakness, in a time where he was definitely feeling his limitations in many ways. And this is why he says, Psalm 90 verse 3, short psalm, but it says, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye children of men. Verse 4, it says, For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So David's saying, all of these difficulties, all of these trials, all of these calamities that we're going through, he says here, it's just a small, imperceptible blip on the radar to you, God. Or it says, 1,000 years in the sight of God is but yesterday. It's like a watch in the night is what he says. Verse 5, he says, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. You know, that's talking about our human condition. And, you know, grass and flowers, that they come and go. And so do we. Then he talks about the situations of the power of God, the judgment of God. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason the strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Again, man is limited. And he's giving this timeline here. He says that the days of man are 70 years. That's 70 years. He says it's 80 years, if by reason of strength. 70 or 80 years, he says, is just the average lifespan of man. And that's always fascinated me. And those of you that keep up with, you know, keep just in our little community, keep up with those that pass on. And I've looked at this for many years now. Sometimes you have people that leave this world at an untimely age before their time. And then you have some that live beyond their time. But I've come to the unscientific conclusion that what the Word of God says here, 70 or 80 years old, that's the average. That's the mean. That our time on this earth is limited because we are limited in this flesh. Our times on this earth are oftentimes filled with difficulties, trials and tribulations, disappointments and loss. I'm thankful it's not like that all the time, but sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? We see man being finite. But let's go on. Verse 11 quickly. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12, it says, So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He's saying here, Lord, remind us to number our days. Remind us to remember what we are in the flesh. Remind us that we are weak. But then he says, Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us in the years that were evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. He's saying here that our time on this world, earth, is finite. Our worldly existence is fraught with trials and tribulations, but we serve and we trust in the infinite God that's perfect, the God that's infinitely good. And David's hope here, and the hope that he pins down, is that our God is who he says he is, and he doesn't change. What a blessing, because our God is perfect love. He establishes us in the end. He's the one who blesses us. He's the one that keeps us. And again, this is hard for our finite minds to grasp, but even in the midst of the most difficult, dark times, God is there with us. We see the eternality of God. And there's other places we could go that echoes this. David would echo it over and over again. I think of the 102nd Psalm, and where David says that speaking of God, thou art the same and thy years shall have no end. Again, encouraging God's people to set their minds on the eternal God. But I want to take just a few minutes and speak of the immensity of God for just a minute. That's a term that perhaps we are not familiar with. But when we talk about the immensity of God, what we're saying is, because our God is infinite, he is not bound by space. He's not bound by distance. He's not bound by geographical barriers. You know, again, I'm sure that Brother David would want to be here this morning. But geographically, he is elsewhere, because he is finite. But our God is not limited by space. You know, he's not, when we think about the immensity of God, we have to talk a little bit about the omnipresence of God. Those are theological terms. But omnipresence means God is everywhere present, nowhere absent. The immensity of God says us, he fills all spaces in the universe. And that's incredible to think about. Jeremiah wrote about this, and as the judgment of God was coming down upon the children of Israel, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23, Jeremiah, by the inspiration of God, pins the words of God, and he says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? The answer to that is yes, he is everywhere. Now, let's make a distinction here. This doesn't mean that God, this isn't saying that God is in everything. Some people have the misguided notion, and there's a lot of people that fall into this category. The mystic religions, they think that God is a substance to be found in everything. You know, people that worship rocks and go up to altars and worship animals and think animals are God. God's not in everything, and God is not everything as well. That's a philosophy that many have. Well, God is everything. No, when we talk about the immensity of God, it means that God is everywhere. He's not in everything. He's not everything, but he is everywhere. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, this was given as a reminder to God's people who were living their lives like God wasn't seeing everything that they were doing. I'm glad that we don't do that today. My friends, God is everywhere. And again, in our sinful flesh, I think that we live our lives as if he's not everywhere. But God sees everything. He is everywhere present. He is nowhere absent. That ought to stir up a reverential fear in our lives, but that ought to give us encouragement as well. He is everywhere, and that means that he is present with his people. He is holding our hands and comforting us in the darkest times of life. And I'm thankful that, you know, I'm thankful for wonderful support systems in my life. And many of you, I know you have wonderful support from family and friends. Some may not. Some may feel like you're all alone and you don't have those support systems. But I think all of us can say that there are times in our lives where we feel like we're all alone. We feel like that no one understands what we're going through. These times where we've been in protracted periods of isolation due to the pandemic, I think in those circumstances, a lot of us especially feel like we're all alone. But if we were to go into quarantine and isolation from now on, we are never totally alone. God is with us because in His infinity, He is immense. He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. And what a blessing that is to think about. You know, you have both sides of the coin. You know, sometimes we try to run from God. And we've seen it in the Old Testament where Jonah tried to run from God. Was Jonah able to run away from God? No, because God was everywhere. But on the positive, those times when we feel lost and abandoned and alone, we never really are. Our God is with us. And in Psalm 139, David, in a time of personal trial, a time of great loneliness, he asked the question, Psalm 132, he says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." I get lonely. Even with the blessings of the support systems that I have in my life, there's times where I feel all alone. Well, I'm thankful to know in those times of despondency, in those times of despair, God is there with us. Says again, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both like to thee." God is everywhere. God doesn't take a nap. God doesn't go to sleep for the night. God does not take the phone off the hook. God does not put the snooze feature on his phone. He's always there. And David says he is always there. So what does this mean for us as God's people? Why is this important, the infinity of God? Thinking about his infinite love, infinite perfection, infinite power. Well, if he's not infinite, he's not truly those things that we mentioned. And again, as God's people, it's important for us to grasp these concepts so that we can know more about the God who created us, the God who delivers us. And I think understanding, again, we won't fully grasp it this side of heaven, but to understand these things about the immensity of God, His eternality, His infinity, it helps us better worship and better glorify Him. And I don't want us to ever forget that. Our primary purpose here in this world is to bring glory to God. And we understand that He's not like us. We understand He's not limited like we are. We can better glorify our Heavenly Father. Better glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What I want to say is this is important for us today because of the difficult times that we're going through. And the prayer request, we hear it in the prayer request to pray for our nation, to pray for our communities, to pray for God's people. These are indeed dark times, divisive times and difficult times. And again, in the most technologically connected society that's ever existed, I think that we're struggling with despondency and struggling with depression, struggling with loneliness, probably more now than ever before. But as we've seen here in Scripture, you are not alone. And our understanding of these doctrines, they should draw us closer unto the Lord. Our understanding of these truths that we are weak, but He is strong, that ought to give us the strength and empower us as God's people to press ahead and serve us here in this world. So I ask the question, are you really totally alone? No, you're not. God is always with us. His love is infinite. We see that in the work of salvation that he has done in the lives of his people. If that was all that we had, that would be enough. He has saved us and he has delivered us. He has shed his love upon us. And here's the wonderful blessing that we come and celebrate for sure this morning. His infinite love is personified in Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, Jesus Christ is the love of God, the infinite love of God personified. Again, going back to Ephesians chapter 3. That prayer that Paul prays and the church at Ephesus, Paul was trying to encourage them in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of discouragement. And Paul brings it back to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the love of God in person. He prays in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom," he says, "the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory," to what? "To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And then he ends this prayer in verse 20 by saying, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." I'm thankful in the infinite, eternal love of God, he came down into this world and bore our sins, came and did what we were unable to do. We were unlovable. We were condemned in our sins. We had done nothing to warrant God's love, but in his infinite, eternal, immense love, he came down and laid down his life for our sins. And that's something that ought to inspire all. That's something that ought to melt our hearts as God's people. And that's something that ought to motivate us. Whatever's happening in our present situation, God loves us. "For God so loved the world," when it speaks about the world, he's talking about his elect, "that he gave his only begotten Son." Paul would say this, we'll close with this. Paul would say in Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 6, he says, "For when we were yet without strength," when we see our limitations in action, in other words, he says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It speaks about his love towards us. His love is eternal. His love is perfect. His love is immense. His love is not predicated upon anything that we do. If it were, we would all be condemned. But Christ died for us. Verse 9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom you have now received the atonement." There's two great blessings here for us. First, we see the blessing of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Paul says that we have this joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because we recognize that we've been saved by the love of God, it ought to spark joy in our lives that overcomes any of the difficulties, any of the adversities, any of the tribulations that this world throws at us. That is a wonderful blessing to think about. This, my friends, is a life-changing doctrine, isn't it? In two ways. Well, first of all, because God changes our lives. Because he's eternal, because he's God, because he's perfect goodness, perfect mercy. perfect in redemption. We've been delivered. We've been saved. But what a wonderful blessing. We've talked about it. Brother David's spoken about it many times as well. In these dark and difficult times, that is a truth that we can hold on to in the midst of difficulties. What a wonderful God we serve. Our God has no limits. We are limited, but our God, He is the infinite God over all. Again, I hope that this has been of some encouragement to you. Let's turn to song number 441. We will not have the handshake again this morning, but we'll just wave at each other. Love you all. But I'm thankful that that's the God that we serve in the hardest times of life. Let's sing.